Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, August 9th. I'm reading from the New International Version and we're picking up in the story of Jesus' life and today, his crucifixion. This is a very hard passage to read. I'm afraid I can't do it justice either. And so as I read, I just pray that the Lord would help us to understand the depth of what Christ did for us, that this is not just any old reading, but this is the word about how God gave himself so that we could be freed. Jesus before Pilate. Very early in the morning, the chief priest with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" But Jesus made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with the staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. As I was reading through this passage once again, I was reminded of a book I read some years back called The Robe by Lloyd Douglas. And in this novel, a Roman soldier named Marcellus wins Christ's robe as a gambling prize. If we look back at verse 24, it says, "And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what they would get. Anyway, the story sets forth a quest for this Roman soldier to find out the truth about Jesus and his robe. And it's a neat story. So if you're looking for a book to read, I commend to you this novel, The Robe. The author, Lloyd Douglas, was actually a minister for many years before beginning his writing career in midlife. On another note, this passage made me thankful for people like Simon of Cyrene and Joseph of Arimathea. And I noticed that Simon's kids were mentioned as well. Let me see if I can find it here. In verse 21, it says, "Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus." And it makes me think that Alexander and Rufus were men who were still in the faith. And if you were reading the book of Mark when it was first written, that you would say, "Yeah, I know Alexander. I know Rufus. They are committed believers." And then at the end where it talks about Joseph of Arimathea and his bravery for going boldly before Pilate to ask for Jesus' body in order to protect the earthly body of our Lord Jesus. I also noticed that the women were there at the tomb with him, many women who had come with him from Jerusalem. Ultimately, I am in awe of our Savior, who was silent so much of the time, not responding to insult, but allowing the prophecy to be fulfilled and fulfilling his mission to die for our sins. In closing today, I want to pray portions of another prayer from the Diary of Private Prayer, just because sometimes the words in this book are so rich to me, words that I might not be able to form on my own, but they are helpful in praying to the Lord. O Lord my God, we kneel before you in humble adoration as we set out to face the task and interest of a new day, or as we end this day. We thank you for your blessed assurance that we aren't called upon to face anything alone or in our own strength, but that at all times we will be accompanied by your presence and strengthened by your grace. Thank you that throughout our human life run the footprints of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who for our sake made flesh and tasted all the different challenges of humanity. Thank you that as we go about our work this week, we can be conscious of the spiritual presence of the heavenly host. O Lord Jesus Christ, you called the disciples to shine as lights in a dark world. In shame and repentance of heart, we acknowledge before you the many faults and weaknesses of which we are guilty. We who in this generation represent your church to the world. We especially acknowledge our own part in this. Forgive us, we pray, the feebleness of our own witness, the meagerness of our own giving and loving, and the mediocrity of our zeal. Make us a more worthy follower of the one who cared for the poor and the oppressed. Let your power, O Christ, be in us all to share the world's suffering and redress its wrongs. Amen.